Thank you, Patrick, for reading our scripture lesson this morning and being patient with the changes. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners, cynicism, or conceit is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. But ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Raise your hand if you have ever spotted a celebrity in public. Oh, we got some good celebrity sightings. Okay. Now, we all live to share the name of the person we spotted. So if you would like to raise your hand and just shout out the name of the person you saw.
Paul McCartney.
Paul McCartney. Oh. Can anyone top Paul McCartney? Like, right? Like, are we starting to think, like, which celebrity? It's fun, though, right? So maybe after worship, share who you saw, because I want to hear, because those are fun stories to tell. And I'm going to tell mine right now. I was at a conference in Birmingham, Alabama, and one of our excursions was to this new legacy museum in Montgomery. And it was a museum that was telling the story of slavery, the evolution of sharecropping to Jim Crow, to war on drugs and incarceration, things like that. And there was a group of pastors, and we knew that Martin Luther King Jr.'s church was in town. And we were going to go there and do the tour, the whole thing. So we go, and we are warmly invited in, and we're waiting for the tour to begin. And in walks a celebrity. At least a celebrity in my world, which may be different than yours. It is Reverend Dr. William Barber III. And for those that don't know who that is, he co-leads the Poor People's Campaign, a national movement that coincidentally began with Martin Luther King Jr. to address systemic racism, poverty, the war economy, and ecological devastation. And so this was one of King's less popular dreams that involved economics, but Reverend Barber has continued that dream. And his powerful oratory skills have made him one of the best preachers in the country. I invite you to look him up on YouTube sometime. And so I see him walk in, and I lose it. You know, it was like one of those fainting moments. I couldn't believe it. My knees were shaking. My breathing's getting heavier. And so I quickly devised a plan, those I came with. I said, what's going to happen is you're going to have your camera ready, and I'm going to walk behind him casually. And I'm going to go to where I think his shoulder is, and I'm just going to smile. And you're going to, in burst mode, take all the pictures you can. And we did. And it's a horrible picture. Just horrible. But I sent that to every seminarian that I went to school with, maybe even a couple professors who I thought might appreciate it. But I thought, wow, like, it's him. I look up to him so much. I thought, this will make a great sermon illustration someday. Just perfect. But whether it is a famous preacher or author or musician or athlete, meeting a celebrity is quite an experience for us regular people. We may be average across the board, but in this person we recognize that they are truly gifted. We may even elevate them to more than human, right? As we grow weak in the knees and negotiate a paparazzi shot. And we worship them and their accomplishments. This morning, we continue the narrative lectionary, which we began back in the Old Testament in the fall. And around Christmas, we turn to focusing on the life and ministry of Jesus. And now in the season of Easter, we are focusing on the formation of the early church as they begin to proclaim the resurrection. And in this opening scene, we get a taste that the early church is born in a richly diverse community. It includes people from different regions. It includes people from different religious upbringings. And while the concept of race has not been invented, Scripture points out that Simeon is referred to as the black one. Even their physical appearances are different, yet in their differences, they all hold in common their commitment to live in right relationship with God. And so the Holy Spirit appoints Barnabas and Saul to the work of the Holy Spirit, and they begin their first journey to the Gentiles to proclaim good news of the risen Christ. And on their journey, they come to the city of Lystra. And a man who has not been able to walk since birth is there. Paul is speaking publicly, telling stories of Jesus and how Christ continues to live. And we can imagine the stories of good news, stories of healing, the stories of grace, stories of faith. And through Paul's words, the man who has never taken a step in his life experiences a moment with the divine. His spirit is filled, and somehow he knows or he feels within himself that God is with me and will make me whole. And empowered by the Holy Spirit with God, Paul recognizes this inner conversion. This man believes that he can be healed. And so raising his voice, Paul says, "Stand up on your feet." And he does. And he jumps up and begins to walk. One may recall Jesus healing the paralyzed man that was brought through the rooftop. Or in Acts 3, when Peter similarly helps someone who has never walked before. And in that same vein, the man begins to walk. And Paul and Barnabas go viral. They are instant celebrities, and the people begin worshiping them. And when I first read this, I was pretty confused. When the people said that they're worshiping Barnabas as Zeus and Paul as Hermes, until I learned that the temple of Zeus was located in Lystra, and there was a story well known to the people in that community. And the myth was that there was a village not too far from there, and one day Zeus and Hermes took on human form to visit that village, and people treated them horribly. That is, except a pious older couple that offered the disguised gods hospitality, not knowing they were entertaining gods. And the myth goes that Zeus rewards the couple, but like Sodom and Gomorrah, the town is destroyed. And so the citizens of Lystra witnessed this miraculous healing. And out of fear of not being hospitable enough, they begin to worship Paul and Barnabas as Zeus and Hermes. And to give them some credit, there is something divine going on. There is something deeper at work, something below the surface. But they miss it. They miss God's movement right in front of them. And instead of praising the source, they quickly elevate the men to the status of gods. There are those in our lives, those in our world in whom we may idealize to the point that they're floating above humanity. We recognize the moments when they heal, when they listen or act with compassion. We recognize that they speak with wisdom and truth, but we must be careful not to give them all the glory. We must be careful not to make it all about that person, or we too will miss it. Barnabas and Paul found that people were beginning to make them something they were not. They were not themselves gods. They were not celebrities. They were praising the good news of Paul and Barnabas, not of Christ. The people missed it. And when the two disciples find out, they tear their clothes in protest and rush to the crowds. "What are you doing?" We are humans just like you. We are proclaiming the good news to you. So therefore, turn to the living God. You see what they're doing? Instead of self-promoting or touting their accomplishments, instead of claiming all the credits and building up their egos, Paul and Barnabas give credit to God and God alone. The early church was not egocentric, needing to win, or institutional centric, needing their churches to have the most members in town. They are theocentric. It comes back to God. It comes back to the good news of the resurrected Christ. How often do we miss that? Praising the hands of a good doctor or good nurse, but not God. Praising those that give large amounts of money to help a good cause, but not God. Praising the stranger that goes out of their way to show us compassion, not God. Praising ourselves for being inclusive or siding with those in need, but not God. For Paul and Barnabas, it comes back to the goodness of God, to which they say has blessed them, the Gentiles, by giving them rain as well as seasonal harvests and satisfying them with food and happiness. So they may not have recognized God, but that does not mean God has left the building. In fact, God continues to support their life even though they may not recognize it. And so I'm here to tell you this morning, many of us would rather celebrate or create celebrities before we recognize God's steadfast love in unfolding right before our eyes. And I'm here to tell you this morning in the season of Easter, the resurrection season, that God is still speaking and the Holy Spirit is still working through us and the church. And so I met Reverend Barber III in the basement of King's Church. And after we took those horrible paparazzi pictures, he began telling stories about the civil rights movement. And the entire room naturally just gravitated towards his presence. And he gave us a history lesson about going beyond the celebrity of King. He mentioned Claudette Colvin, a teenager of color, who defiantly sat in the white section on the bus before Rosa Parks did it. He mentioned Howard Thurman, a professor and friend to many movement leaders, serving as their spiritual guide as they faced difficult moments along the way. He mentioned people in other places, like Fannie Lou Hamer, who used her voice in Mississippi. And he talked about all these people, some I had never heard of. It was not just about King on the mountain, but countless and nameless others that will never be remembered in the same way. And so he ended by saying the civil rights movement was much larger than Martin Luther King Jr., but we don't tell that story. And at that moment, I realized what it was all about. And I got up the courage, and I went over to him and said, I'm about to be a pastor. And I know I will have days where it's difficult to speak the truth, but I would like to take a picture with you, knowing that you and I are doing this work together. That picture is in my office, looks much better than the other ones, and reminds me that we are all instruments of the living God. And so when we come together, like the early church, no matter where we are from, how we look, or how we identify, to use the gifts God has given us, and we let ourselves be used by God for God's purpose, we can let God do some amazing things through us. Let's not miss it. And when someone does not recognize the good news of a progress flag, or wonder why in faith you called a senator to advocate for a bill to protect the environment. Like Paul and Barnabas, some may not recognize that we are instruments of the living God, And so we may need to educate others how the living God flows through us, co-creating a world where both people and creation live in safety and security. And I'd like to end with this poem from St. Francis. It may sound familiar to you. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. To God be given all praise, glory, and honor, and to us the instruments of God, that we may let God use us for God's will. Amen.